There's hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent every year by people that are trying to stay on the top side. They're trying to beat depression. They're trying to be happy. And so psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors all have more people than they can deal with, because there's many things in this world that if we let them will depress us. In fact, if you want to be depressed, just go home, turn the news on. Doesn't matter what station, just turn the news on and listen to everything that's happening in the world, and pretty soon you'll get the Eeyore complex. Some of you don't know who Eeyore is. He's a little donkey on Winnie the Pooh. Woe is me. And people all over the world today are suffering from depression. And they'll use all sorts of medicines and drugs, some legal, some illegal, trying to stay happy, trying to get undepressed. Now, let me tell you what I want to do this morning. This morning, I don't want to be a good preacher. This morning, I don't want to preach an eloquent sermon as if I could. I just want to be a help. I just want to be a help. I'm going to speak on the subject, don't discourage your encourager. Now, this is one of those sermons where I have bad news and good news. The good news is my sermon is only one point, and it'll take me about 3 minutes to make it. The bad news is I have an extremely long introduction. So get through the introduction with me, and then we'll get to the sermon, and I'll get you out of here in a hurry. We read from John chapter 14, verse 16, where Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." We read in John 14, 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And then we read in John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." I want you to think with me about the disciples. And I want you to think about this question. Do you think the disciples, when they were with Jesus, were ever depressed? I think maybe at the crucifixion, they might have been a little depressed. I think maybe after the crucifixion, before Jesus was resurrected, when they really didn't realize what was going on yet, they may have been a little bit depressed. But I think the 3.5 years that they walked with Jesus and studied with Jesus and traveled with Jesus, I don't think there was ever a day that they were depressed. I told Kay this morning, I think Jesus had a sense of humor. She's been praying to be taller in the millennium. And I said, "Kay, you better be careful what you pray for, because God has a sense of humor. You're praying to be taller. He may make you shorter." And she said, "Well, Pastor, I'm going to pray he makes you shorter too." I said, "Okay." But God has a sense of humor. Jesus has a sense of humor. And I know they had enemies. I know there were people all the time that were trying to tear Jesus down. They were trying to trap him, to get him to say something that they could arrest him and haul him before the authorities. I know that that was going on throughout his ministry. And I know the disciples must have felt some of that. But I think that there was never a day when they were with Christ that they were depressed. I think that Jesus had such a personality. I think that he had fun. I mean, he preached and he taught. And he taught about serious things. He taught about eternity. He taught about heaven and hell. And he taught about serious things. But I think that he knew how to have fun. And I think he knew how to be a friend. And I think he knew how to uplift those people that traveled with him. And that they enjoyed the time that they spent together. One time somebody came up to him and says, "Hey, how come your disciples never fast? Other people fast. How come your disciples never fast?" And here's what Jesus said: "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Why should they fast? I'm with them now. There's going to come a time when I won't be with them where they may need to fast, but they don't need to do it now because I am here with them. Now, he knew, Jesus knew that he was going to have to return to heaven. He knew that that was God's plan for him, that he was going to go to heaven and be our advocate. And so he told his disciples, and he started, you know, he didn't wait till just before he got ready to leave. He tried to tell his disciples as he went along. He says, look, I'm going to have to go to heaven. I'm going to have to go be with the Father. But when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father to send another comforter to replace me. I've been your comforter up to this point. But when I leave, I'm going to ask him to send another comforter. Now, if you look up the word in the word comforter in the concordance, and you look up the different verses, and you go to a Bible dictionary, you'll see that the word comforter means counselor. It means somebody that cheers, somebody that encourages. Okay? And so Jesus said, while I've been here, I've been the one that cheered you. While I've been here, I've been the one that has encouraged you. And when I leave, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to ask the Father to send another comforter, somebody that'll take my place to cheer you and to encourage you. And by the way, I've only been here for about three and a half years. But when this comforter comes, he's going to stay forever. He's never going to leave. He's going to be with you all the time. Now, and when he comes, he's going to teach you all things. And he's going to remind you of everything that I have taught you. I've talked to you about the kingdom of God. When the comforter comes, he's going to talk to you about the kingdom of God. I've talked to you about heaven. When this other comforter comes, he's going to talk to you about heaven. I've talked to you about hell. When this other comforter comes, he's going to remind you what I've told you about hell. He's going to tell you and remind you how I have taught you to live in this world. And the Holy Spirit does that. Jesus said that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to remind you of me, and he's going to remind you of everything that I have taught you. And so when that comforter comes, he is going to be your encourager. He's going to be the one that will cheer you. And he's going to be the one, we read from John 15:26, that will testify of me. He will remind you everything that I have done when I walk the face of the earth. He'll remind you of the miracles that I performed, the lame that I made to walk, the deaf I made to hear, the dumb I made to speak, the dead that I brought back to life. He'll remind you of the sinless life that I lived. He'll remind you about what Brother Michael sang about this morning. He'll remind you of the cross. And he'll remind you of the price that I paid on the cross for your sin. He'll remind you that I spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. But he'll also remind you of that first Easter Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away so that you could see in that the tomb was empty because I resurrected from the dead. He'll remind you of that. And he'll even remind you of that day that I ascended up into heaven and you stood there looking up into heaven and those two men in white clothing that said, man, why are you looking into heaven? This same Jesus, which has gone away from you, will come again in like manner. He'll remind you of all that. You see, when we realize that we're sinners, and the Bible says that we're all sinners, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we realize that we're a sinner. And by the way, some of you are here this morning, I know very well. I don't have to convince you. I know that you're a sinner. Amen. I mean, I just don't have to believe the Bible. I know you. You're a sinner. Now, others I don't know very well. I trust the Bible that it's right when I say you're a sinner. Amen. So we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. That's what we owe because we cannot measure up to God's perfection. We cannot measure up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. There's a lot of people worse than I am. That's probably true. But God says, don't measure yourself by another man. Measure yourself by the perfection of God. The perfection of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we measure ourselves against him, all of us have to say, woe is me. I am a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. Death, separation from God. Physical death sometimes results from sin, but the payment of sin is to be separated from God. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you are separated from the one that made you. You are separated from the one that has a plan for your life, that wants to bless your life, but he can't do it because your sin separates you from that God. But here's the gospel. Here's the good news of the Bible. God loved us so much. Again, Michael, thank you for that song. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to bear our sin, to take it to Calvary, to hang on that cross and pay the price that we owed. And that's what he did. On the cross, whether you have received him or not, Jesus paid for every one of your sins. And he paid for every one of my sins. Our sin debt is paid in full. It's been paid in full for every person. Amen. And the Bible says that if we receive that, if we believe that and receive that for ourselves, he'll give us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so, if we receive it, believe it and receive it, we become a child of God. Our sins are forgiven. Heaven is the home that we can look forward to, and we have an eternity. We're going to be together with God and be together with Jesus for eternity. But when we accept Christ, something else happens. We get an additional blessing. Not only are our sins forgiven, not only do we know that we are justified before God, but when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, when we receive him, the Holy Spirit of God moves in to our bodies. Amen. Every Christian here this morning has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Encourager. And so this morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have a built-in encourager. Amen. You do. You don't need to go to the psychiatrist. Now, please nobody leave here and go and tell your psychiatrist, your preacher told me I don't need to come anymore. I'm not making a medical determination this morning. We'll get Dr. Mal practice out here if that needs to happen. But here's my point. You have a built-in encourager. You have a built-in somebody that will cheer you. You have somebody that lives inside of you, that walks with you every moment of every day, that goes every place that you go, knows every thought that you think, knows every hardship and burden that you bear, that's there to encourage you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, again, I'm still on my introduction. I'll tell you when I get to my message. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to work alone to encourage us. Sometimes it's just us and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit that has to encourage us. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had fought a battle, and he'd left his men, and he and his men had left their families in a place. And while they were over fighting a battle, the enemy came and carried away their families and all their possessions and their children. And David's men got mad at him. They were upset, and they said, "We're going to stone you. We're going to kill you." And the Bible says, let me just read the verse. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." It was just David. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, it was easy at that time for David to be depressed. But he said, "I'm not going to be depressed. I remember what kind of God that I have. I remember I have a God that can solve every situation. Our God can get us out of this." And sometimes when we need to be encouraged, sometimes when we need to be cheered, it's just us and the Holy Spirit. It's just the Holy Spirit and us. Just us. But most of the time, when the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us, he does that by using other Christians who he's placed in our life who also have the Holy Spirit. So, for example, husbands and wives that are both Christians, that both are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is God's purpose that we encourage one another. Husbands ought to be an encouragement to their wives. Wives ought to be an encouragement to their husbands. You see, and again, your husband goes into the world, if he still works. He goes into the world to make a living. The world wants to tear him down. Satan wants to tear him down. Satan wants to do anything that he can to depress him. And God has put you in his life as his wife to be an encouragement to him, to help him as he faces the world. The same thing, as ladies stay at home, as they take care of the kids, as they go into the workplace to help make income for the families that are needed today, they also need to be encouraged. And God has put in their life their husband, who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to be an encouragement to them. And that's a way that God works a lot of times. We always have the Holy Spirit, but most of the time when we need to be encouraged, he brings other people into our life to be an encouragement to us. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Here's what it says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That word grieve means to distress or to discourage. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That verse is talking to Christians. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, until the Lord takes us out of this place. But what that verse says, hey, while you're still here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't grieve or don't discourage the one that's trying to encourage you. Okay, that's my introduction. Now here's my message. I promise it'll be short. Here's the truth. Here's something that will change your life if you can get a hold of it. God has put people in your life to be an encouragement to you. Don't discourage them. Say, that's it? Yeah, that's it. That's my one point this morning. That's my message this morning. God has put people in your life to be an encouragement to you. Don't discourage them. Amen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that's inside them that God is trying to use to encourage you. Now, tonight we're going to talk about some things in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, that we do to discourage our encourager. And then we're going to talk about one thing in Ephesians 4:32. And Brother Clint, you know that verse because you quote it often. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're going to talk about the things that we can do to encourage our encourager. But let me just close with a couple of examples this morning. Again, I'll use husbands and wives. You need to be an encouragement to one another. And so your husband comes home from work, says, honey, how was your day? And she says, it was terrible. Little Johnny broke his arm. The washing machine broke. My brother was arrested and thrown in jail. And my mother is coming to spend a month with us. Now, any man that hears those words will go, oh. Now, that wife is not being very much of an encouragement to her husband. He comes home and she says, how was your day? And he says, What's for dinner? He goes to the table, eats dinner without saying a word, gets up from the table, leaves her with the dishes and the kids, grabs his newspaper, goes to the couch, lays down, starts to read the newspaper, and falls asleep until it's time to go to bed. Don't look at anybody because I'll know you're thinking that that's what they do. He has not been very much of an encouragement to her. Now, how could it be better? He comes home and says, "Honey, how was your day?" She says, "Come with me." And she takes him to the dining room where the table is set and there's a candle in the middle. She has prepared his favorite meal. They sit down and have a quiet, intimate dinner because she's farmed out the kids for the night. They go to the couch after dinner, do a little smooching, and says, "Honey, I got some things to tell you." And he says, "What?" "Well, little Johnny broke his arm today." "Well, boys will be boys." "The washing machine broke." "Well, it was old. We probably needed to get a new one anyway." "My brother got arrested." "Well, maybe that'll help him. He was on the wrong track." "And my mother is coming to stay for 30 days. I always enjoy your mother's visits." Now see, she was being more of an encouragement that way. She still broke the same news, but she did it in a way that would encourage him. Now, guys, rather than coming home and going, and going to eat dinner without saying a word, and then going to read the paper and falling asleep, bring her flowers. Bring her some candy. You say, "Preacher, I can't afford flowers." Stop by the cemetery. You can get them for free. And they look just as pretty as when you buy them from a florist. Look, they're going to die anyway. They're not doing that person any good. Who says you don't get good advice at this place? Buy her some flowers. Buy her some candy. Talk to her at dinner. When dinner's over, help her with the dishes. Go play with the kids. I mean, she's had a tough day too. She needs to be encouraged. And if we discourage our encourager, look, how can they encourage us if we don't encourage them? That's what the Bible's talking about. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Encourage them so that they can encourage you, so that you can encourage them, so that they can encourage you. Quickly, same thing works between a pastor and his people. I mean, if I came in under every Sunday and I had lots of people say, "How you doing?" If I say, "Oh, it has been a terrible, terrible week. I mean, nothing has gone right this week. Everything has gone wrong. My back hurts. My feet hurts. I've got a headache. If I wasn't the pastor, I wouldn't even be here today." How would that make you feel? That may make you feel bad. So you ask me how I'm doing. I say, "I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Had a wonderful week." May not be true, but I'm going to tell you that. Because I want to be your encourager. And in turn, you encourage me. I mean, it's an encouragement to me that you all got your eyes open. That you've laughed a little bit this morning. That you've nodded your head. That's an encouragement to me. And that's why I want to be a help. I want to encourage you so you can encourage me. So that I can encourage you so you can encourage me. That's what the Bible says. We're to be an encouragement. That's how God works. When we need to be encouraged, he sends somebody along that has the same Holy Spirit that we have so that they can cheer us, so that they can encourage us. Don't discourage those that God has put in your life to be an encouragement. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you do in our life, for being an encouragement to us. Thank you for those people that you bring into our life, that you use, Holy Spirit, to encourage us. And I pray that we do our best to be an encouragement to them, that we would not discourage our encourager. Father, I pray if there is somebody here this morning that's never received Christ, they have no idea what we've been talking about this morning because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're still lost in their sins. They're still under the condemnation and the penalty of their sins. and they need to come to Jesus this morning. Would you help them, Holy Spirit? Would you show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father but by him? Would you help them understand that on the cross he paid for every one of their sins? And the only hope that they have to have those sins forgiven, the only hope they have to have a relationship with you, the only hope that they have for heaven is by coming to the cross and by coming to Jesus, washing themselves in the blood, having their sins forgiven because of what Jesus did on Calvary. If there's just one here this morning that needs to do that, please, Holy Spirit, help them to make that decision and come to Jesus this morning. Speak to our hearts. Maybe there's something that we need to take care of that's in our lives. Help us to do that this morning. We'll give Jesus all the glory for everything that's done. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.